This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is almost over. I am thrilled to sit down here with you for the next 3 hours on a Thursday night, and here's what we have on tap. DHS secretary, the new one, said something really dumb, really bad, but I have good news about it. We'll talk about that in a moment. I have good news about young men and the direction they're drifting. Once again, the LGBTQ demon mob inadvertently lets you know who they think the enemy is. We got more prices going up. We're apparently going to extend FISA. That also sucks. We're going to do a bunch of emails, all that, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show now. There are things in life that are easy to change, and there are things in life that simply take a lot of time to change. They're difficult to change. Depending on how long you've been at something, it can be difficult to make changes. If you wake up every morning and you have a donut and a cup of coffee for breakfast, and maybe that's what you do on the way to work, and you've been doing that for 15, 20 years, you stop by Dunkin' Donuts and you grab a cup of coffee and you have a donut on the way to work. And then one day you sit down with the doctor and the doctor says, it's time to skip the donut. You're getting a little fat. Well, that may sound easy for you if you don't have a donut. I'm not big on donuts. That would be no problem for me. Jesse, don't eat any more donuts. Okay. But if that was my routine every single day, now you're asking me to make basically a cultural change. That's become part of who I am. If you're an alcoholic, it's one thing if you had too much booze 3-4 days in a row. Oh my gosh, I got to clean it up. If you've been hammering a couple bottles of vodka a day for 10 years, just telling that guy to put it down, it's not that easy. It's part of his life. It takes time. In the United States of America, we have over the decades, this is not just recent, decades, we have done two things. We've really done them simultaneously. And they've been two things that have been devastating to the United States of America, and more specifically to you and me, the American citizen. And the two things are this. We have decided that we are going to make things in other countries for a long, huge variety of reasons. We made it too expensive to hire people here, the enviro nut jobs. We're not going to get into that part of it, but we've decided that's no big deal if we just make our stuff in China, then we'll just ship it back here. Well, that has gutted town after town after town in this country, destroyed job after job. That's terrible for a country. But that's not what we're going into tonight. There's something else we've done for decades. We've imported foreigners. I rant all the time about the Biden administration and how uniquely evil it was. 20 million foreigners in 4 years and everything else. And all that stuff is true, but let's stop. Let's forget that. Let's go before Joe Biden. Even before Joe Biden, that is how business has been done in the United States of America for years and years and years and years and years. And not just by Democrats, by Republicans as well. Do Democrats do it more and do it worse? Of course they do. But Republicans do it too. It's just what you do. Can't find enough landscapers to work at your resort? Go grab some foreigners. You don't want to pay an IT guy fresh out of Texas A&M $100,000 a year. Up, can't afford that. Hey, government, I need some people from India. You go grab foreigners. Whenever it helps the bottom line, it's just what you do. And of course, there's a religious aspect to this as well that we have to acknowledge. feminized, Americanized Christianity has told believers in this country, and you'll hear pastors to this day speak like this, it has told believers in this country that since we have it good, we should import barbarians from all over the world, and it's somehow against the teachings of Jesus if you don't want 350,000 people from Haiti walking into your community to eat your pets. Years, decades of this from the church, from the business, from the Democrats, from the Republicans. It's just what we've done. Coffee and a donut every single day, decade after decade after decade after decade. And as the American worker has been slowly crowded out of the market, now you can't find a job. Your daughter can't find a job. Your son can't find a job. Your Midwestern town is closing up shop. Everyone's on meth. It's a total disaster. As that has happened, politicians on both sides have developed a defense mechanism they automatically pull out when it is ever brought up in front of them. Democrats do it and Republicans do it. It's just what they do. And it's the kind of thing that makes you want to blow up and just choke somebody. What is the automatic response you get from left, right, your pastor, the Chamber of Commerce, every group of freaking losers in this country? What is the response? Well, let's go to our new DHS secretary and find out.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand
that. The right
kind
of immigrants.
We're a nation of immigrants. Don't you understand it? But it says on the Statue of Liberty. I mean, yeah, it was a statue that was made by foreigners, and that's just a plaque that was put on the Statue of Liberty. But I read that plaque, and I think that should be our immigration policy now. We're a nation of immigrants. Over and over and over and over and over again, we have to hear this line of crap. Every other country in the world, every other one, they're citizens. France, citizens. Canada, citizens. Well, maybe not Canada anymore, but Haiti, even Haiti, citizens. Those are Haitian citizens. China, those are Chinese citizens. Look at over there in Japan. What do they have over there? Oh, Japanese citizens. Mexico as Mexicans. Brazil as Brazilians. But here in America, not us. We don't even have citizens. You? Being born here and all that means absolutely nothing. You see, we're a nation of immigrants.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand.
Gag me with a fork. We are a nation of citizens, like every other nation on the planet. We are not a nation of immigrants. And by the way, sorry, Mark Wayne Mullen, new DHS secretary. Contrary to what you and all your Chamber of Commerce goober friends want to think, no, we don't need more of them.
We want immigration. We want legal immigration.
No, we don't. We are. Oh, hold on. Let me check the rooms. Yep. No vacancy. All filled up here. Turn around and go somewhere else. We're full. Now, the bad news is that. But let me ease the pain of that with a couple different things. First of all, not an excuse, but Mark Wayne Mullen, Republicans in general, all Democrats, Chamber of Commerce, your loser skinny jeans wearing pastor, even Donald Trump. This is the world they've grown up in. It's the only world they've ever known. You go golfing with your business pals at Mar-a-Lago and they tell you, hey, I need somebody to plant the flower beds. Could I have another 10,000 foreigners? Well, that's just what you've always done. Sure. Here, have some foreigners. A little foreign slave labor. Make that bottom line look good. No biggie, right? It's the only world these people have ever known. If Americans look too burdensome, too expensive, if you might actually have to spend some time on training, things like that, well, don't bother. Who has time for that? Just go shopping around for some third world dump. They'll be happy to give you some people. They'll come over here and plant your flowers, rape your wife, get a DUI on the highway. No big deal. Looks good on the bottom line. It's the only culture these people have ever known. They've been alcoholics for 20 years. When they sit down at the bar and order their fifth vodka at dinner time, you can be mad about it, and that's fine. I'm mad about it. You're mad about it. It's what they've always done. Now for the better news that will make you feel better. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we will answer all your questions as we always do while having a good time. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com is where you send them. You know the routine by now because they're already coming in. Send them in. We'll have fun tomorrow. They don't even have to be political. They can be. That's fine. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. So the bad news is we've been doing it wrong for a long time in this country. Democrats, Republicans, foreigners, Chamber of Commerce, pastors, just everyone thinks America is just open. I read the Statue of Liberty. And now you have to hear this crap even from people on our own side.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration. People that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants.
That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Those people, that population of people on the right, is shrinking. Oh, I know Democrats are getting worse. There's no question about that. Democrats are getting much worse. Maybe your skinny jeans wearing pastor, maybe he's getting worse too. Chamber of Commerce is always going to suck. I can't vouch for any of those organizations, but what I will say is this, and this is a fact. The Republican Party on this issue is getting better. And the dorks who talk like this. So
we want immigration. We want legal immigration. People that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants.
They're retiring. They're leaving. They're getting old. And we have a new generation of Republicans who don't talk like that. They talk like this. Here's Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri.
It's not just an illegal immigration problem. We have a legal immigration problem in this country. You look at the H-1B visa program, it's been a scam for a long time. Those numbers are way down. I think that's a success. There's 90% fewer of those. But really, I think that the coalition that we have now, which is this working class coalition, it is the ascending viewpoint. It is our future. And those people, the people that I grew up around in my family, those jobs, the blue collar jobs were shipped overseas. And then the great betrayal was when they were looking for new jobs, we flooded this country with people who are here illegally. But the other thing that's happening to white collar workers now is we're displacing white collar workers with cheaper foreign labor through the H-1B program. They're more loyal, they're more compliant because they're sponsored by those companies. It's not because we don't have the people to do those jobs. They're just cheaper and more compliant from another place.
That's a United States senator. He's going to be there for a long time. Here's Brandon Gill, United States House of Representatives.
This isn't just an amnesty bill. It's far worse. This is just a straight up mass migration bill. On the one hand, it gives amnesty immediately to 12 to 15 or more illegal aliens, but it also hamstrings the president to stop him from conducting deportations of the other illegal aliens. And there's also a provision in the bill that would allow DHS to bring back aliens who have already been deported under the first Trump administration if they meet certain criteria. So this bill is really every single thing that we ran against in the last election cycle. We got a mandate, we got a trifecta from voters in order to deport illegal aliens, to secure the border. That's why they gave the president the popular vote. So to turn around and tell voters, you know what, you asked for mass deportations, we're going to give you amnesty and worse, is an absolute, it's an unforgivable political betrayal.
That's awesome. And I know you heard that stupid traitorous hag, Maria Salazar, trying to laugh because she can't shut her freaking mouth for 5 seconds when he was going off there. And I know you probably saw what happened today. The United States House of Representatives advanced something that keeps 350,000 people from Haiti in the country. And you, of course, saw commies like Ayanna Pressley get out there and say
dangerous,
this.
And it is preventable. To deport anyone to Haiti right now is unlawful, and it would be a death sentence.
And the headlines you've probably saw and heard all day long are Republicans join with Democrats. And they did. Of course, it was Maria Salazar, Mike Lawler, all the Dignidad Act people. They joined with the Democrats to keep 350,000 Haitians here. Okay, that's bad. That's bad. Do you know how many Republicans did that? Six. There weren't many. Yeah, I know it's bad. Well, Jesse, it's still bad. It still got through the House. That's totally true. It's totally true. But I'll tell you this, guarantee it, write it down, etch it in stone. Rewind 10 years, just 10 years ago. And if the numbers in the House, Republican and Democrat, were exactly the same 10 years ago, it would have been 26, 36, 46 Republicans. Oh, well, we can't deport people to Haiti. We need these Haitians here. They're just as American as you and me. It would have been half of the GOP House. Instead, six of them. Do we need to get rid of these six treasonous swine? You bet we do, of course. Not saying that. We got work to do. We are improving. The future of the Republican Party is not this.
We want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand.
The future of the Republican Party is this.
It's not just an illegal immigration problem. We have a legal immigration problem.
Be inspired about the improvements we are making. Are they happening fast enough to save the country? I don't know. But they are happening. And that's something, right? Do some emails, clear some room out before we get back to this. Let's first acknowledge the fact that we still have barbarians all over our society. DHS employee killed by foreign-born individual naturalized with a criminal record. You saw the video, we've talked about it, about the Haitian dude who beat some woman to death with a hammer outside of the gas station. What does your daughter carry on her so she doesn't get beaten to death with a hammer? What's your dad have beside his bed? You know, Byrna's launchers are non-lethal, therefore they're legal in all 50 states. Legal. No permit. No background check. You go to Byrna.com and friggin' order one. That's all it takes. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls or these hard plastic kinetic rounds. You can shoot them on the ground in front of somebody and it's freaking debilitating. Clawing at your eyes and your nose and you survive. BYRNA. Byrna.com. It's already saved lives of my listeners. I hope you never have to use it. I hope to God you never pull the trigger, but you might. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Oh, great. Why are you dressed up as a greeter? I don't understand what that means. Anyway, oh, with all the Swalwell Gate happening right now, and Democrat scumbags apparently calling a code red on that loser, my question is, what is going to keep Swalwell having about 1,000 commie knives now sticking in his back and knowing there's no way back under the rocks from which he crawled from turning on the entire party and going public with stuff like this? Okay, so this is I found this question to be interesting. Swalwell, he's just the latest example, although it's happened many times before. Swalwell got taken out by the system. The system decided Eric Swalwell was in the way. And so they just dug up a bunch of stuff, I'm sure paid off, blackmailed a bunch of people. Now Eric Swalwell's entire political career is over. He's not in Congress. He's not going to be governor. And it looks like, wow, that's the guy now with nothing to lose. What's to stop him now from just turning on the Democrats who turned on him and going public? Okay. We'll set aside Eric Swalwell. Joe Biden. Let's focus there. Because it's obviously a level above. Joe Biden was the president of the United States of America. You can say he wasn't functional, that's fine, but his witch wife was. His witch wife was not only functional, she was so power hungry, remember, we found out she was fighting tooth and nail to get him to run again. Okay? It's a very powerful woman, very powerful family. They just are. President, his wife, extremely powerful. The system decided that they had to go, so they went. They didn't want to go. We got all the reporting on it. Nasty arguments and things like that. But in the end, Joe Biden, I've decided I'm not going to run again. But anyway, where's the pudding? Joe Biden leaves. Now, let me ask your question a different way. Joe Biden was president. Joe Biden's been a Democrat for 1,800 years. How much damaging stuff on the Democrat Party does Joe Biden know if he's got an axe to grind, if he's mad about getting shoved out the door by the system? Why didn't he write a tell-all book? Why not run to the news? Publish a dossier? Name names? Why not? You're about to die anyway. Who cares? Okay. Pause on that for a minute. World War II in the Pacific, as you know, is a huge passion of mine. My favorite part of history, I think. As of right now, it's what I'm still obsessed on. And anyone who knows anything about it understands the Japanese atrocities that took place. Horrible, horrible amounts of torture and rape. And it was just the Japanese... they better wake up every single day and get on their knees and thank God the Nazis were busy butchering everyone too, because the Japanese were every bit as evil. They just didn't get the pub. They just didn't get the same publicity. It was bad. It was really, really bad. The things they did everywhere they went, like a barbarian horde, just rape and slaughter and torture everywhere they went, is bad. But this is a relatively modern era when all this stuff happened. And because it's a relatively modern era, we have journals. We have journals, we have writings, we have letters from Japanese soldiers, Japanese enlisted soldiers, Japanese officers. And if you read any of these or read a book about these that will have excerpts in them, you will notice something that seems to come up a lot. And that something is this. A Japanese soldier, if by chance you happen to capture one, which was very difficult to do, but if you happen to capture one, or if you happen to get his letters or something like that, the theme was, hey, we captured this American. We captured this Australian. We captured this nurse, and our officers made us torture him to death. Our officers made us have a bayonet practice on him, but avoid the vital organs so he would have max punishment. Our officers made us burn this guy to death. And it wasn't just one guy, because if it was one guy, you could say, oh, yeah, okay, someone made you, right? Lots and lots and lots of them say, I was told to torture that guy to death. That's what I was told. Why? Well, if I'm an officer, I'm a Japanese officer, and I want to ensure that you will never surrender, you know, Bushido code and all that other stuff. If I want to make sure you will never surrender, what's a very demonic but very effective tactic I could use? Well, I'll simply make you torture to death one of their people, which pretty much guarantees you're going to die if you're ever taken captive, and probably not well. So in forcing you to cross that line, hey, have bayonet practice on this guy. In forcing you to cross that line, what I have done is I've basically put you into a blood oath that guarantees you will never surrender, because it's now not an option for you. Now That Australian soldier you skinned alive? What do you think his buddies are going to do to you if you surrender? Not an option. Guess who's fighting to the death now? You. Why doesn't Eric Swalwell come out and burn down the Democrat Party? Why doesn't Joe Biden come out and burn down the Democrat Party? The system took these guys out. Their political careers are over. Why not just come out? Because these guys, throughout the course of their careers, have crossed that line so many times in one way or another. They are way, way past the point of being able to come out and take anyone down now. Way past the point. I will again remind you, we brought it up all the time when he was president. When Joe Biden was vice president, his dirtball son flew on Air Force Two with him over to China. And when they got off the plane, he took off to go meet with, quote, Chinese businessmen. All these shell companies by the Biden family. Shell company after shell company. Like the Gambino crime family, only it's the Biden family. LLC here and LLC there, and that one feeds to this one. Do you have any earthly idea how many actual crimes the FBI must know about the Bidens committed? How many pieces of tape does the CIA have on any one of the Bidens doing something horrid? How much of that information is known by the system? Joe Biden can't write that tell-all book explaining why Nancy Pelosi is corrupt, because Joe Biden knows full well the system knows everything about him. And he may have been asked to politely decline from running for president again, but he still gets a presidential library and a big fat pension. And look, life ain't all that bad. Joe gets all the chocolate chippy ice cream he can imagine. I'm sure his family's getting paid $500,000 a speech to have him show up and stumble through a couple words. Look, you might not be president anymore, Joe, but we got you a nice soft landing. That soft landing, we can make it really hard, Joe. You know what's really hard? A prison bed, Joe. A prison bed. Eric Swalwell may be the maddest guy in the world right now. He may want to come out and tell all. I'll burn them all. Do you think we know all the bad stuff Eric Swalwell did? Eric Swalwell doesn't have a choice. Shut your mouth. Keep your head down. Maybe you pop up in politics again 5 years from now when people forget. That's how the Democrat Party operates. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I need to touch on something I brought up earlier. So earlier today, the House of Representatives, as I discussed, decided that 350,000 Haitians who are here on TPS, remember that's temporary protected status, they decided we can't remove these people. We shouldn't remove these people. Before I go into anything else, that's not going to get past the Senate, okay? I've been told that thing will not get past the Senate. I am not guaranteeing you that, but somebody I trust told me this thing's dead in the Senate. So just because the House said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. The House of Representatives was trying to prevent Donald Trump from deporting 350,000 Haitians who shouldn't be here. Now, that's not the most important part. I want to play this for you again.
Dangerous, and
this is Ayanna Pressley.
Dangerous, and it is preventable. To deport anyone to Haiti right now is unlawful, and it would be a death sentence.
A point we've made many times on the show. Why is Haiti dangerous? What is it about Haiti that makes Haiti dangerous? They have a lot of sharks, a shark problem, poisonous spiders. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe they got really bad weather. Is it any of those things? Or is it maybe the Haitian people? I'm just asking questions. The Dominican Republic, they share an island with Haiti. Exact same demographics, skin color, all that. Dominican Republic's pretty wonderful. None of these problems. I think maybe it's the fact that Haitian culture is demon-worshipping garbage and people who grew up in that culture shouldn't be allowed in the United States of America, ever. The appropriate number of immigrants from Haiti is zero. None. Ever. For any reason. Keep them out. That's one. Two. Let's just acknowledge how truly evil the Democrat Party is. That they will bring in 350,000 people from one of the most horrible cultures on the face of the planet, and then they will bend over backwards to keep them here, and they know. You could sit there and tell Ayanna Pressley until you're blue in the face about all the damage this does and everything else. They know all that, but they also know that having a gigantic mob of destructive culture come into the country helps degrade the country to the point where they can take power. That's how evil these people are. They will do whatever they have to do to bring in as many foreigners into this country as possible. By the way, here's another one, Representative Catherine Clack.
We are not talking about some abstract policy here. We're talking about our neighbors. In Massachusetts and across the country, Haitian TPS holders are parents. They are most definitely caregivers. They're small business owners, healthcare providers, construction workers. They are the essential threads in the fabric of our communities.
But they're not Americans. And it's that last line that really gets me. These people, again, it almost goes back to what Mark Wayne Mullen said.
So we want immigration. We want legal immigration, people that want to make the country stronger. We're a nation of immigrants. We understand.
We're a nation of immigrants. So insulting. So ridiculous. But it's just what they say. Catherine Clack at the end of what she says here, gosh, this kind of stuff just gets to me. And it shows you how little people pay attention, and it shows you how many foreigners we've brought here. Listen to what she says at the end here and know that this is something you would never have gotten away with in either party for most of this country's existence.
We are not talking about some abstract policy here. We're talking about our neighbors. In Massachusetts and across the country, Haitian TPS holders are parents. They are most definitely caregivers. They're small business owners, healthcare providers, construction workers. They are the essential threads in the fabric of our communities. And they deserve far better than.
They are the essential thread. These foreigners we brought into your country, in your kids' school, in your community. These foreigners, it's not just that they're guests who should be on their best behavior. No, we're bringing them in here. Be on your best behavior. No. They're the essential thread. What's that make you? If the Haitians are the essential thread, then what are you? What am I? Well, in the eyes of these people who say these things, you're an inconvenience is what you are. That's what you are, you patriotic citizens. You're probably the kind of person who... You probably care about the country. You probably don't want the country to go bankrupt. You probably, I bet you this, bet you money. I bet you care about crime, don't you? Oh, what are you worried about, your family? I bet you're that kind of person. And I bet you're the kind of person you will demand results from your politicians. You want clean streets. You want low taxes. You want good schools. I bet you're the kind, I bet, you know what? I bet you are. I bet you're the kind of person that wants a secure border. Ugh. But these Haitians, they don't care about any of those things. And that's what makes them, and not you, the essential thread.
We are not talking about some abstract policy here. We're talking about our neighbors. In Massachusetts and across the country, Haitian TPS holders are parents. They are most definitely caregivers. They're small business owners, healthcare providers, construction workers. They are the essential threads in the fabric of our community.
Not you, though. The Haitians are. Ugh. All right, we still have an hour. Wait, we have 2 hours. We'll have some fun. I'll get some emails. I want you to start taking your chalk. I want you to start today. Your starting point when you start taking natural herbal supplements from Chalk, you can put it in your calendar. I would say 60 days, but most definitely 90 days. From that moment, you are going to be a completely different person than you are now. You're going to be different at home. When you're at work, instead of chugging another cup of coffee at 2 p.m, you're just going to feel good. Your mood's going to be better. When you get home from work, when it's time to make dinner for the kids, when you're whatever, you're going to be skipping around the house instead of dragging around the house. C-H-O-Q. Go get a subscription so you save money. And if it doesn't work, if you're not full of pep, cancel your subscription. They don't give you any crap about it. They'll probably say sorry. There's a reason I have so many testimonials about how it's changed people's lives. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.